Well, today is back to school Sunday. Every year, yeah, it's the most wonderful time of the year. Amen. Every year we take the weekend before school starts, and we want to highlight and pray over all the students at LC and in our community. Our middle school and high school students had a special service on Friday night, and our elementary students right now are having a special time upstairs in Kids Life today. But today on this Sunday before school, I want to take some time today, and I want to preach to our middle school, our high school, and our young adults. And I also believe there's gonna be something special in this message for all the rest of us today, but are y'all okay by just grabbing onto the coattails of this sermon and let me preach to the younger generation for a little bit today? Amen. I think it's important for us to acknowledge the spiritual attack that our students are under, and that we should pray for them and support them every step of the way. One of the reasons that the enemy targets our children and our youth is because he wants to snuff out and destroy the dream and the plan that God has placed inside each and every one of them. Amen. For many of them, it's a dream that they don't even recognize or understand yet, but rest assured, God has planted seeds of greatness in each and every one of them. And it started all the way back in the beginning. Psalm 139 and verse 13 says, "You made all the delicate inner parts of my body, and you knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb." Folks, if that doesn't tell you where life starts, nothing will. Verse 16, "You saw me before I was born." See, there was a me before you were born. "Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed." Folks, that's destiny. That's a plan. God has a plan. He has a purpose. And his dream for every person in this room, young and old alike, is for you to make an impact on your generation. His plan is bigger than you are, and it involves you reaching and impacting and making your own mark on your generation. The Bible said this about David in Acts 13:36. "For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell asleep and was buried with his fathers and saw corruption." Let me read it from the NIV. It's a little bit clearer. When David had served God's purpose in his own generation, he fell asleep and he was buried with his ancestors and his body decayed. You can be the David of your generation. Amen. See, the Bible says that David served his own generation by the will of God. David served God's purpose through his life. Amen. In his generation. Today I want to preach, reach your generation. Reach your generation. This generation of youth and young adults are the generation that can and I believe will change our world. Amen. This group right in front of me in this building right now can mark and impact the world in ways that I believe will shock all of us. Hey, that's what I like. A little bit of applause. Come on, somebody. Amen. I've heard about the great generations of the past, and I've also heard many of the disparaging things, just like you have, that people say about today's generation of young people. By the way, don't be surprised by that at all, because the generation in front of you talked bad about your generation. Amen. That's nothing new. Every generation thinks that the one that follows them is lazier, has it easier, and they don't quite get it like your generation does. Now, there may be a little bit of truth to that. simply because of the changes in technology and the results of more education and the blessing that we enjoy today that we didn't enjoy before. If, frankly, it should be a little easier for every generation, right? If it's not, maybe we're not doing it right. I was telling Lauren and Evan, who were here in the first service this past week, that their generation is the first one to grow up using cell phones and computers. When Robin and I got married, we didn't have a computer, we didn't have a cell phone. When I was pastoring, I didn't have a computer or a cell phone for years. I don't even know how I did it. Sending smoke signals to Pastor Rodney, I guess. You know, writing with pens and pencils on paper. Folks, I was born in the 1900s. I mean, can you believe that? Yeah. We had phones on walls that didn't have pictures. You had to push numbers and stretch the cord. How many of you like it when you hung that thing up, that cord would be all spun all around? I mean, it was tough. Yeah, party lines. It was tough. It was hard in my generation. See, now I sound like what I'm preaching about, right? My grandson, he knows how to open my cell phone. He knows how to call me with FaceTime. He even knows how to show me what he wants for his birthday on Amazon. This past week, we saw some kids ride by on electric bikes, and that set a fire in Mason for wanting an electric bike. So trying to throw water on his fire, I said, boy, you know how much those bikes are? I said, let me show you. So I went to Amazon, and I showed him the $1,500 ones and the $2,000 ones and the $2,500 ones. And I'll be honest with you. I think an electric bike would be so cool, but I know me. I would never pedal again. I would ride that sucker till the battery went out. I would never ride a bike again the rest of my... And so I tried to discourage him. So he said, let me see that phone. And about 3 or 4 minutes later, he flips it around. He had done found a $500 electric bike. He said, see, Pawpaw, you don't have to spend that much money. And then guess what he did? He scrolled up and he put his finger right on the buy now button. I said, don't you push that button. And he was like, ha, 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 ha. He was like a crazy man with the nuclear suitcase getting ready to blow up the world. Ha, 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 ha. Don't you push that button. I thought I fixed him of the problem, and then this morning, right before church, he came up to it. I don't know whose phone he had. It was on Amazon. He flipped it around, and it was a $2,000 dirt bike. I know what he's doing. He thinks if we can talk him down from a $2,000 dirt bike, we will settle on a $500 electric bike. I'm wise to your ways, young man. Folks, here's what I know. Kids are smarter than ever before. They have more resources at their fingertips than ever before. They have an ability to impact their generation like never before. Come on. I do not believe that the greatest days or the greatest generation is behind us. I'm going to say it again. I don't think the greatest days are the previous days. I don't think the greatest generation are previous generations. I believe the greatest generation is this one that is sitting in front of me right now. Right now. Right now. See, the Bible says in our text that one generation passes away and another comes along to take their place. And I believe God is equipping and raising up young people in each generation to fulfill His call and His mandate to reach our world. Even in the world of Christianity, the church world, I am not drunk on how great the generation was at Azusa. I am not fixated on how awesome it was, the generation that brought in the Jesus movement or charismatic renewal. Amen. I think sometimes as Christians, we spend too much time romanticizing the past and ignoring the great opportunities that are placed right in front of us. Amen. I'm not even focused today on generation tomorrow. I want to focus on generation right now. Come on, and say that you can make a difference in our world. And so today I want to ask every middle school, every high school, every college age and working young adult, whether you're single or married. And by the way, if you are still in your 20s and 30s, you are still young. Trust me. I know you think you know everything. You don't know everything yet. I'm sorry. But my question is, are you willing to serve God's purpose in your generation? Are you willing to do what the Bible says that David did? Serve your generation. Reach your generation. Not by your desires, but by and according to the will of God. Are you going to chart a path that is simply something that you want to do, something that you have selected, or are you going to choose the path that the Spirit leads you and guides you in and make an impact in your generation according to God's purpose in your life? The steps, I believe, of a good middle schooler are ordered by the Lord. I believe the steps of a high school student are ordered by the Lord. I believe the steps of a college student are ordered by the Lord. I believe the steps of a guy in trade school are ordered by the Lord. I believe the steps of a young married couple are still ordered by the Lord. It doesn't matter whether you're a full-time student or a member of the workforce. I don't care if you're married or single, because there's benefits of being in either camp. Young couples, hear me. Just because you got married, you got a house, you got two kids, it does not mean that your chance to impact God's kingdom has passed you by. Come on. Maybe you've even arrived at your station in life by following a twisted, unplanned path. Maybe it had more downs than ups. It does not matter how you got where you are. See, what matters is that God has a purpose and a plan for this generation, for your generation. And I am optimistic that you can fulfill it. Psalm 145 and verse 4 says, each generation will announce to the next your wonderful and powerful deeds. Did you notice that? The psalmist recognized the obligation of one generation to the generations to come. Let me speak to everybody in this building over the age of 35 for a moment. We need to be speaking hope, speaking life, giving direction, giving attaboys, and cheering on this younger generation. Quit throwing shade on them, amen. Quit trying to kill their dreams. Quit telling them they can't. You ought to be telling them, you can. You can, you can, you can. My generation needs to be speaking life into the generation in front of me. Instead of griping and complaining and focusing on the negatives, how about we empower them and equip them and exemplify what a fired up, committed Christian looks like, amen. Show them what the fruit looks like of a life well lived for the glory of Jesus Christ. Now, what did the previous generation say about your generation or mine? And what will the next generation say about our generation? See, every generation, even in the Bible, it's been marked by the influence of its culture and its people. Every generation had its own amount of darkness and obstacles that had to be overcome by life. We need to quit hiding behind the excuse and say, it's just so hard today. No, it's not. It's always been hard. Noah's generation, Genesis 6 and 5, how'd you like to live then? And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Noah lived in a generation that was so wicked that God pressed the reset button. He said, man, these jokers are so bad, I just got to drown them all and start all over again. And that's what he did. Moses' generation, known as a perverse and a crooked generation. Solomon's generation, it was that said of them that they were a generation that cursed their fathers and did not bless their mothers. Jesus' generation was called a faithless and perverse generation, a generation of vipers, evil and adulterous generation, seeking after signs. Peter's generation was called the untoward or crooked generation. Save yourself from this generation, he said. But folks, this is our generation. Yes. Amen. And you have to reach yours, and I have to reach mine. Because I know this, Noah and Moses are not going to reach this generation. The Apostle Peter will not pray for the sick on your campus. He will not pray for the workers on your job. David is not going to stand in the gap for your high school. Esther is not going to stand in the gap for your classmates in middle school. David is not going to stand in the gap for your marriage. Amen. We are a unique generation called for this day and for this hour. 1 Peter said it this way, chapter 2, verse 9. You are a chosen generation. Oh, hallelujah. A royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people. Why? That you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. See, I firmly believe that you've been chosen, you've been handpicked by God to accomplish his will in your life for your generation. I already said it before, every generation has been marked by defining character traits and circumstances. And you know, and now today we've got names for the generations. We do. For example, if you were born between 1928 and 1945, they've labeled your generation the Silent Generation. This generation experienced the Great Depression and World War II, and it was characterized, this generation was characterized by a sense of duty and respect for authority. I had a gentleman come up to me after the first service. He said, I don't like the name Silent Generation for my generation. He said, I think I'm the exception. And I laughed. I said, I think you are. But anybody in this room from that generation, 1928 to 1945, raise your hands if you're here in the room. I literally only see one. Amen. Come on, let's give him a big hand. Man, you better thank God for that silent generation, amen? How about the next generation, baby boomers, 1946 to 1964? Let me see you. Throw your hand in the air. Don't be ashamed, amen? Y'all might need to cheer a little louder. They need to turn their hearing aids up. All right, baby boomers, we see you. This generation grew up during a period of economic prosperity and social change. They're known for their optimism, for their strong work ethic. I see someone like, yeah, that's my generation. Talking about my, no. All right, Generation X. Come on, that's my generation right there. Woo! 1965 to 1980, let me hear you in the house. Often described as the middle child generation. My generation, we experienced the end of the Cold War, the rise of the internet, valuing independence and work-life balance. All right, my kids' generation. How about, let me hear from the millennials in the house. 1981. To 1996, some of y'all are like, I don't know if I'm a millennial now. All right, try that again. If you were born between 81 and 96, let me hear from you. This was the first generation, my kids are the millennials, the first generation to grow up with widespread access to the internet. They're known for their tech savviness and for their desire for purpose in their work. Gen Z, that's 1996. What I'm talking about. I like that so much, I'm going to hit the rewind button and I want you to try. Is there any Gen Zers in the house? Yeah, baby. Now y'all see why I'm preaching to this generation. Gen Z, 1997 to 2012. This generation, also called digital natives, they're defined by their reliance on technology. Don't cheer for that. But also having a strong awareness of social and environmental issues. Amen. This is the Matthew 25 generation right here. And then there's Generation Alpha. That's those born 2023 forward. Now, there's not very many of them in this room. Most of them are upstairs. But let me tell you why I mentioned Generation Alpha. The oldest of Generation Alpha are entering middle school this year. Generation Alpha. They're the first generation to be born entirely in the 21st century. These are the infants through the 12-year-olds. Now, I know we just had a little fun with that, but hear me. Regardless of your age, whether you're a boomer, a buster, a Gen X, Gen Y, Gen Z, hear me. This is your generation to reach. As long as you're alive and kicking, you have to reach yours, and I have to reach mine. But I came here today specifically, I want to preach to the millennials and the Gen Z and the Gen Alpha. Because, and I'm going to tell you why, The world needs you to rise up to the challenge of your generation. You want to know why? You have more energy, as evidenced by the shout out. Come on, you have more vision. You have more passion. You have more optimism for the future. Some of us have gotten jaded by life. Come on, can I just preach to the church today? And this world needs your connection and your passion and your drive to lead them to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. A walk with Jesus that will change the world. See, so many people around us, they lack direction and purpose. You can find it when you submit your life to the Lord and let Him order your steps. I'm gonna get emotional right now. I'm really feeling it for these middle schoolers and these high schoolers. Give your life to Jesus. Give your purpose to Jesus. Watch Him unfold it. Some of you, God might call you to be a doctor. Be the greatest doctor you can for the glory of God. He might call you to be a lawyer. Be the greatest lawyer you can for the glory of God. He might call you to be a realtor, a construction worker. There's no shame in the trades, by the way. Thank God for the tradesmen. By the way, are you ready? Can I throw in a little hint? They're making more money in the trades than the college graduates right now. Just laying that out there. God may call you to be a missionary. He may call you to be a missionary doctor. He may call you to be a counselor. He may call you to be a youth pastor or a children's pastor or a worship pastor or a lead pastor of a congregation. God called me when I was 15 years old. You know when it manifested? When I was 29 years old. There was a 14-year journey of God making me what I needed to be. People are bored and they're struggling to focus on anything other than themselves. We're dealing with societal and moral changes that are happening at an unprecedented level. Broken families, same-sex marriages, lifestyles that are considered normal and acceptable by a broken culture, amen. The destructiveness, hear me, of alcohol or recreational drug use, it's still real. And you know what? I don't think churches talk about this enough. We're afraid of offending people. But it's become too commonly accepted, alcohol and drug abuse among Christians. Can I get a little help from some of you old timers? And since I'm talking to the younger generation, I'm just going to say this. Let me say that smoking pot, despite the fact that it's being decriminalized, despite the fact that there is a surge in popularity, despite the fact that our current president is even trying to normalize the use of pot more than it was before, despite all those things, it will not help you become the best version of yourself. I'm just trying to help you. Oh, he done gone to meddling right now. Somebody needs to tell us that not everything the culture says is good for us is good for us. Now, just so you'll know, I'm not against medicinal purposes. By the way, I'm going to say this. Everything on this planet, God made for a good purpose. Everything. And I believe we need to redeem some of the purposes of things that the enemy has tried to take in. Come on, somebody. But the recreational use of drugs, they're just gateways to destructive behavior. And any addict in this room can tell you, don't go down that path. I'm just trying to help you right now. Somebody needs to tell you, stay away from the weed or whatever they call it now. Amen. Hallelujah. We used to call them dime bags. Stay away from them dime bags. Can all the older people say, thank you, Jesus? Don't fall for the trap that all of a sudden now, after all these decades, pot is harmless. Pot is not harmless. Don't be that generation. Pot will still destroy your reproductive system. It will kill your sex life. It will fry your brain cells. I'm trying to help you. And if I'm a young person, anything that will kill my sex life is off the table. Did I say too much? Let me go on. Amen. Amen. Back to the notes. But folks, here's the reality. We're fighting this generation like no other generation. I'm talking about millennials, Gen Z, Gen A. They're fighting depression like never before. So much of this has been brought on by social media, the bullying and the body shaming. And some of them even are fighting against the stigma of labels. In our effort to help, sometimes we have overcorrected, and now a lot of kids are fighting the labels that have been put on them by doctors or counselors or teachers, and they think they're broken. Hear me. You are not broken. You are a child of God. You are a child of God. Oh, I feel it. You're bigger than your diagnosis. You're better than what the counselor said you are. Come on. You don't have to be what they said. Come on, somebody. I believe in you. I believe in you. You are not damaged goods. Your brain is not broken. Your spirit is not crushed. You are not beyond repair. Parents, oh, keep speaking life into your kids. If they need to get help for a season, help them through that season, amen? But that does not have to be their sentence on life. We got to fight for this generation. We need to speak life into them. This generation needs to know that we're behind them and that we believe in them, amen? Somebody, you know what? I want them to hear it. I want them to see it. Somebody ought to stand up right now. If you're not a millennial and you're not a Gen Z and you're not a Gen X, I want you to stand up and I want you to applaud these young people. Let them know. Come on, stand up right now. Let them know you believe in them. Let them know you believe in them. You believe in them. Yes. Here's what I know. The only hope of saving our world is going to come through a generation of sold out believers. The only way it's going to come is through the power of the Holy Ghost operating through these young people and these young adults and these young married couples. We need to be a Book of Acts church that is so full of the Holy Ghost that it changes the lives of people when they walk through these doors. Come on. Our generation needs it. They deserve it. People need to experience the drawing and the convicting and the liberating power of the Holy Spirit. Because here's what I know. Either the church is going to change this generation or this generation is going to change the church. That is the reality, but that's also the challenge. We got to become a generation that's not afraid to worship like we're crazy about Jesus. Go ahead and laugh if you want. I don't care. You didn't die for me. You didn't shed your blood for me. You didn't hang on a cross for me. You didn't set me free from my addictions. Woo! Hallelujah! Yes! Yes, yes. Hallelujah. 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 Yeah, that's, come on. Go on. Hallelujah. 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 If we can raise up a generation of praise and worship, Christians and young people, we can change our world. You can come into a church atmosphere depressed and beat down, and by song number two, your hands are raised and you're giving glory to God and you get back in the right frame of mind. Reach this generation. Be a generation of worshipers. David's wife laughed at him when he worshiped. That's all right. Keep worshiping. We need a generation that embraces preaching, that convicts and encourages. We need a generation that doesn't quit church every time they get mad at something somebody said. We got too many gypsies for Jesus just wandering around from here and there, everywhere. I'm going to go here for a while until somebody offends me. Then I'm going to go over there. And then when that church gets old, when the flavor of the month church is stale, I'm going to go find out where the next flavor is. Come on, folks. We need to build some stability and some purpose and some faithfulness. And it starts in the house of God. We need young people are not ashamed to lift their hands, lift their voices. It's not charismatic worship. It's not Pentecostal. It's Bible worship. It goes all the way back. It goes all the way back to the Old Testament. You think we're crazy? You turned loose a bunch of Israelites up in this house from the Old Testament and watch them worship. Watch them bang their tambourines and blow their shofars. Hallelujah. I'll say it like Tony. Y'all getting some stuff at 11 o'clock. 9 o'clock didn't get. Amen. Young adults that are not afraid to be lost in the presence of the Lord. Come on. Let's not be a generation of boring, predictable, dead churches led by boring, predictable, dead preachers. Attended by boring and predictable dead saints. How can we expect this generation to respond to a gospel if we are barely responding to it ourselves? Amen. David said in Psalm 27 and verse 4, one thing I ask from the Lord, and this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. One thing have I desired. What is the one thing that drives you? Desire. And desire is often the difference between life and death, poverty, prosperity, happiness or hopelessness, salvation or destruction, heaven or hell. Desire. And the greatest achievements in life are usually accomplished by people who have a singular desire. And it becomes the ruling passion of all they do. Students, millennials, what is your one desire? Well, I want to get a career. I want to have a family. I want to have kids. I want to buy a house. I want to make some decent money. That's good. But what is your one desire? Does it fall under the umbrella of serving God? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen. Hebrews 12 and 2 tells us to fix our eyes on Jesus. What did Jesus do? He endured the cross. The Bible said, for the joy that was set before him. He endured the pain because he saw the church and the bride that needed his sacrifice. He endured it because he saw the joy that was to come. What is the vision that drives you? Vision motivates us to do great things and give great things and love at all times. Vision keeps us going when there doesn't appear to be any other reason to just keep pushing forward toward the goal. Jesus endured the cross because of his vision, the joy set before him, Hebrews 12 and 2. See, when you have a focus and you have a purpose, nothing can stop you from fulfilling God's purpose in your life. Let me say a couple things real quick. I'm trying to hurry about God's purpose in your life. Number one, God's purpose is not stopped by the wickedness of this world. I don't care how bad this world gets. I already told you about Moses' generation and Noah's generation and Jesus. Doesn't matter how bad it gets. God is still at work. He's still moving. He's still touching lives. He's still shaping kingdoms. He is never surprised by what humanity might do. And just because actions or motives around us of other people might be carnal or unfair, it does not mean that he is not present and his purpose in your life is not valid. This world cannot sabotage your purpose and your calling in God. Right. It can't. Here's the second thing I want to say about God's purpose. God's purposes are not forfeited by your failures. Thank you, Jesus. They might be delayed, but his purpose lives on. How do I know that? Because he's a God who applies grace to the long view of life. God sees the big picture. T.F. Tenney once said this, and I love this quote. He said, if you are sitting in the seat of judgment, you're sitting there alone because God is sitting on the mercy seat. He's not on the judgment seat yet. Right now, he's on the mercy seat. Amen? Sin grieves God. Consequences follow sometimes our behavior. We know that. And one day he will judge. But right now, he's offering mercy. He's offering grace. Hallelujah. I want to challenge somebody right now to stop focusing on your failures and resolve, I am never going to be defined by them again. Come on. I'm never going to be defined by them again. Your destiny may feel bound up because you think you're beyond redemption. Not with the God I serve. Amen. Resolve today to make a difference. God's purpose is also, they're not frustrated because of difficulties or hardship in your life. Can I say this real nice? Who said life was going to be easy? Amen. The most powerful people I know are those whose lives have been through the fire. I was at a conference a couple weeks ago, and I had a rare privilege. I heard a speaker that I'd never heard before, and I won't say what his name is, but he was amazing. I heard him twice, and I was so impacted by his ministry. And then you know what I found out about him later? I found out that he held his 9-year-old daughter in his arms when she died from an asthma attack. I found out that later on in his life, he held his dad in his arms while his dad was dying and died from a heart attack. And when I was sitting in the audience watching this man of God minister to me, you know what? I didn't realize the pain that came to help accomplish his purpose. How God used those things to make him the man that he was, because he didn't quit in the face of adversity. And I want to say to some of you right now, don't be discouraged because of your difficulties and your hardships. Amen. Look at Esther. Look at the stuff she went through. She was an orphan Jew. She was exiled in a foreign land. She was thrown into the place where she was going to be a part of the king's harem, his group of concubines. But she found favor, and she became the queen. And then Mordecai, her uncle, came to her, and he said, guess what? God didn't just call you to bless you. He called you to do something great. Read her story. And Mordecai had told her, he said, if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place. And Esther answered the call. And if Mordecai was here, what would he say to this generation? He would say, quit saying I'm from the wrong side of the tracks, or I was born into the wrong family and I'll never get ahead. Mordecai would say, stop saying I spent time in jail, so I'm always going to be considered an ex-con and no one's ever going to give me a break. Mordecai, I would say, stop saying I've already been through a busted marriage, so why would God give me somebody else? Or why would somebody else want me? Mordecai, I would say, stop saying I already lost my virginity, so I might as well give up purity and just live any old way. Stop saying once an addict, always an addict. Because the Bible says, he who the Son sets free is free indeed. Stop saying I'm too different or I'm too weird. How can God use my quirks and my flaws? All of us are weird in some way. You hang around me long enough, I'm going to do something. You're going to go, that was weird. If I hang around you long enough, I'm going to go, you know what? That's not cool. Here's what I know. You're not a victim unless you choose to be. Come on. You're not a victim unless you choose to be. You are a victor. You are not excluded from a God-given purpose from your generation. Praise team, come on up. I'm running out of time. Oswald Sanders said this. He said, the thing that keeps us going for God, even when everything or everyone around us is tumbling and stumbling, is our vision of God. Not, notice, our devotion to principles or our devotion to duty. Here's what I know. How many of you love people that are devoted to their principles? How many of you love people that are devoted to their duty? They get stuff done. They're people of integrity. They're people who are productive. They're people you like to be with. You want those people on your team, right? But you know what Sanders said? He said, it's your vision of God. Not your duties, not your principles, not your Christian routines, not your daily disciplines. It's your vision of God that drives you. Hear me, here's what I know. I want to talk to you young people again. You might not have all your disciplines down yet. If you do, you're the anomaly. You may not have all your stuff figured out yet. You probably don't. You probably shouldn't. By the way, let's quit telling kids when they graduate from high school or college that they got to already know what they're going to do with the rest of their life. My Lord, I didn't know what I was going to do until I was 30. That's not an exaggeration. I mean, I did a million different things trying to figure it out. I was married for 5 years before I really finally figured out what I'm gonna do with the rest of my life. But get a vision for God. Say, God, I want you to use me. Here's what I know. I'm looking at this group right here. I see some doctors, I see some lawyers, I see some construction workers, I see some children's ministry teachers. I believe there's a pastor in this group. I believe there might be a missionary in this group. But we will never know unless you say, Lord, here am I.
Right.
Use me. I want you to stand all over this room. I'm going to read one final verse of scripture, and then we're going to have a very special altar call. First Timothy 4, verse 12, and I want you to understand the context. This was the Apostle Paul writing a word of encouragement to his young protege, Timothy. That would be like a millennial writing something to somebody in Gen Z, or somebody from one generation reaching down to the next generation. And here's what Paul said to Timothy. And I love this from the NLT. It says, don't let anyone think less of you because you're young. Other versions of the Bible say, don't let no one despise your youth. I like this better. Don't let anybody think less of you because you're young. And by the way, you know how you rise above that? Be an example to all believers in what you say, the way you live, in your love, in your faith, and your purity. Amen? Until I get there, here's what I want you to do. Focus on reading the scriptures to the church, encourage the believers, and teach them. And then here's what we're going to do today, verse 14. I felt compelled to do this yesterday morning. Do not neglect the spiritual gift you received through the prophecy spoken over you when the elders of the church laid their hands on you. Give your complete attention to these matters. Throw yourself into your task so that everyone will see your progress. Verse 16, keep a close watch on how you live and on your teaching. In other words, your lifestyle and your doctrine matter. Stay true to what is right for the sake of what? I love this. Your own salvation and the salvation of those who hear you. That's your generation that you're going to reach. But I want to go back to verse 14. Don't neglect the spiritual gift you received through the prophecy spoken over you when the elders of the church lay their hands on you. Yesterday morning when I was praying, I felt like the Lord told me, we're going to have an altar call, and I'm going to invite Gen Z, Gen A, and the millennials up here first. And then our prayer team is going to come. We're going to lay hands on them. We're going to pray for them, and guess what's going to happen? Some of them are going to be prophesied to. Some of them are going to have a calling of God come on their life. This is going to be a tangible Holy Spirit moment. And then those of you who feel led to pray, I'm going to encourage you to pray as well for them and with them. I want you to throw the pics up on the screen. This was some of our youth group on Friday night in their back to school night. How many of you love our youth group? How many of you love our youth and children's pastors, Daniel and Clarissa? Amen. Just keep scrolling these pictures for a little while. This was their moment Friday night. By the way, parents, can I just throw this challenge out to you? This year, as school starts back up, if you have a middle schooler or a high schooler, get them to youth on Wednesday nights. Let me try that again. Get them to youth on Wednesday nights. They're probably not going to make it to the NFL. They're probably not going to get a college scholarship for volleyball. They're certainly not going to make it to Major League Soccer. Maybe. What am I saying? Put stuff in them that matters. Well, they got school. Yeah, they got school. Put stuff in them that matters. Amen. Amen. Bring them to youth group. Bring them to church. Make that a priority. Drag them kicking and screaming if you have to. Because if they ever backslide, you want them to step over your body on the way out to church. Amen. But today, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to open up this altar. And I'm going to invite Gen Z, Gen A, millennials, married and single, I want you to begin to come up right now, and I want you to follow. First, prayer team, come on up. Prayer team, come on up and stand facing them, and I want you to come. I want you to just begin to come. John, if you'll grab these bottles of oil behind these speakers. And there's some over here. I felt like the Lord told me to have our elders, our prayer team, to lay hands on you. And let God touch you. And by the way, if there happens to be any elementary school students in this room, I don't want to exclude you. Please come out. I know some of you may not be upstairs. Parents, bring them down with you if you want to. We're going to pray. We're going to pray for an anointing to fall on this generation. Yes. We're going to pray that some of them will answer the call of God. I want to pray for God to lead your life. That's defined by relationship. I don't want Jesus just to be an add-on. That's just religion. But I want him to be the center of your life. Choice is yours. So we're going to, as they begin to sing, I want you to begin to lift your hands. And I want to begin to pray. And I want you to invite, and some of you may have already done this. I want you to do it afresh. Say, Lord, I'm asking you to order my steps. I want you to bless me in my middle school. Bless me in my high school. Let me be a light. Bless me at college. Bless me on my job. While I'm still finding my way, let me make sure my way is centered in you. Can we do that? Let's all begin to pray right now. Go ahead, praise team. Come on, young people. We're praying for you. Cry out to God. That's it. Get a holy hunger. Get a holy hunger. Get a holy hunger. Come on, I don't care about your past or your history. Just get a holy hunger for God. Yes, yes, yes. Prayer team, ministry team, as you feel led, just work your way through this crowd. Some of you adults, come on up here and join us. Help us pray. Help us pray. Generation. Come on, I want to reach my generation. Yes. Yes, yes, yes. I want to reach my generation. Come on, some of you older couples, Lord, bless our marriage. Bless our children. Bless us, Lord. Bless us, Lord. Some of you school teachers, I'm praying for God to bless you and anoint you. Thank you, Father. All right, before we close, we prayed for you. Now we're going to pray over you. I want to pray for every student, elementary, middle, high school, going back to school. I want to pray for the homeschool students. We have some as well. God would bless them in their endeavors. I want us to pray for God's hand to be on our kids as they go back to be. Some of them have already gone back to school a week ago, a couple weeks ago, different counties. I want us to pray for the teachers. We have several school teachers that are part of this church, amen. I want the teachers to be salt and light, amen. That's another group that I think gets a bad rap. We need to pray for the teachers. There's a lot of great teachers that are pushing against culture and that are teaching our kids. Thank God for them, amen. Let's pray for them, that their influence multiplies in the schools. School bus drivers, yeah, there you go. Man, talking about somebody needs prayer. School bus drivers, great day. You got to pray for them, amen. So let's pray right now. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, as we close this service, we speak blessing, we speak protection, and I plead the blood of Jesus over every student in this church. Those that are not here, we pray for you to watch over them, God. I pray against school violence. Don't let one incident of school violence come to any school in our Richmond metro area, God. We plead the blood. We have authority in this area, and so we ask it in the name of Jesus. I thank you for it, God. I pray for every school teacher today, that you would give them patience, that you would give them wisdom, that you would help them, Lord, to know how to discreetly let God's view be felt in their classroom. Let their light shine. I pray, God, for protection against drug abuse and alcohol abuse and sexual immorality and the confusion of lifestyles that are not sanctioned or ordered by you, God. I pray that you would cover our children's minds. Bless them. I pray that you would give our parents wisdom when they're faced with challenging situations with their kids. Give them wisdom and knowledge. Help them to know how to lead their kids. I pray, Lord, for you to bless them and order their steps. I pray, God, that they would see in themselves what you see in them. I pray, Lord, that they would know that we have their backs, that we love them. And we just ask for your favor, your direction, your anointing this school year. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said amen. Can we give Jesus one last praise? Hallelujah. We love you, Father. We love you. We praise you.
Hey, thanks for watching. Be sure to subscribe to this channel so you never miss one of our videos or live streams in the future. Also, take a moment and share this with a friend. Be sure to join us 9 a.m. or 11 a.m. each week live as we celebrate Jesus together here at Life Church. God bless you.